Tiger fans, you've probably seen Fort Hays State University license plates on vehicles around town. These official State of Kansas Tiger tags not only show your Tiger pride, but they also support student scholarships. Getting your own Tiger tag is quick, easy, and every tag generates money for student scholarships. Visit fhsualumni.com/drive or contact the alumni office to learn more. Again, that's fhsualumni.com/drive. Go Tigers!
It's time for Tiger Talk on the Tiger Sports Network. Tiger Talk, live from Tiger Club inside the Robbins Center on the Fort Hays State Campus, is brought to you by these premier Tiger sponsors: Golden Belt Bank of Hays and Ellis, banking one story at a time; the Hays Med Orthopedic Institute, expertise, technology, compassion, all right here; Adams Brown, strategic allies and CPAs, going above and beyond for you; BTI, your John Deere dealer, with locations in Buckland, Great Bend, Greensburg, Hoxie, Mess City, and Pratt. BTI, our family in partnership with your family. The Taco Shop, dine-in, carry-out, or delivery. Since 1970, you've never had it so good. And Eagle, our community connected. Tiger Talk with the voice of the Tigers, Gerard Welbrock.
And good afternoon and welcome to Tiger Talk. It's our final program of the year. Hard to believe, but we've arrived at that point. But we're going to have a fun show for you today. We'll get you up to date on some of the sports going on and then get some of our live coaches on here. We're going to have Curtis Hammacke join us a little bit later on in the program, an update on Lewis Field, some projects going on there. We'll talk about that and the construction of the new locker room facility in the south end zone and what that could mean for parking and different aspects this upcoming football season. And head coach Chris Brown will join us toward the end of the program. Tigers wrapping up spring practices this week. They'll have their annual spring scrimmage Saturday morning, so we'll get a preview of that with the Tigers head coach Jason McCullough, track and field coach, joining us, and Adrian Pilkington, softball coach. We were going to have Justin Wickert of the baseball team, but he's a little under the weather today, so Curtis filling in with an update on Lewis Field. We will tell you, Tiger baseball at home yesterday afternoon and got a win, a good game. They won 11-8 over William Jewell, snapping a four-game skid. Tigers were down 4 in the fifth inning, but came back to get the victory. Their 22nd of the year. Good game, the wind blowing out, and as you'd expect, some runs scored. 7 total home runs, 3 by Fort Hays State. They lost all 3 games in Topeka this weekend in conference play to Washburn, but maybe played 3 of their best games of the year. They really should have probably won all 3. They either tied or had the lead in the eighth or ninth inning in all 3, and they slipped away at the end, got beat Sunday on a walk-off homer in the bottom of the ninth inning. But played some really good baseball right now. Final home weekend series is this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Emporia State comes to town. Big series. Fort Hays State right now part of a 4-way tie for 8th place. Top 8 make the conference tournament. Fort Hays State hasn't been in the MIAA tournament since 2013, so if they can have a good weekend at home and then the following weekend close at Pittsburgh State, chance to break that streak and get back into the conference tournament. And we'll have Saturday's game, Saturday afternoon, right here on KAYS. The Fort Hays State men's golf team currently in Kansas City at the MIAA Championships. It's at the Shoal Creek Golf Club. Tigers, after the first 2 rounds, sitting in 8th place. They were as high as 5th for a while Monday. Slipped to 7th after round 1, sitting in 8th place after 2 rounds. Jacob George, Cooper Scheck both tied for 12th at 12 over. Cole Streck is at tie for 17th. He is 13 over as they play their final round today in Kansas City. Women's golf will be in Bolivar, Missouri for the Women's MIAA Championship. That'll be taking place next week starting on Monday. All right, to get you up to date with some of the other sports going on, we'll get an update on track and field. Head coach Jason McCullough will join us. They were everywhere last week in California, in Emporia. We'll get a recap of that, look ahead to what's left as they get closer to the MIAA championships. We'll do that when we return. Need to remind you, the Kansas Department of Transportation and the Drive to Zero Coalition, they invite you to join Tiger fans with a plan. If you're going to be drinking, always designate a sober driver. Track and field coach Jason McCullough joins us next. This is Tiger Talk on the Tiger Sports Network, built by PwC.
At BTI, we pride ourselves on providing quality John Deere equipment and customer support. Since 1944, BTI has been serving farmers and commercial operators with mowers, tractors, and compact construction equipment at an affordable price. As a leader in the ag industry, BTI offers complete technology solutions so our farmers can help keep America running. Experience the BTI difference for yourself.
Call on BTI.
Our family in partnership with your family.
If you haven't heard, land is in high demand. Hi, this is Adam Hand, your local Whitetail Properties land specialist in central and western Kansas. If you have ever considered selling your farm, ranch, or hunting land, now is the time to give us a call. We would love to talk with you about why landowners trust us to uniquely market and sell their land quickly for the best price possible. If you are interested in buying or selling land, give me a call at 785-259-2469 or visit whitetailproperties.com.
Regardless of where you call home, or where you want to call home, that's a story to share with Golden Belt Bank. Because when you share with us your home ownership dreams, you take a big step toward achieving them. Visit goldenbeltbank.com to connect with our mortgage team today. Golden Belt Bank. One story at a time. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
There is freedom in movement, and Hayes Med Orthopedic Institute helps you regain your best moves. As one of America's top 20 rural hospitals, Hayes Med offers the most comprehensive orthopedic care in western Kansas, complete with quality outcomes and our four-star patient experience. From joint and spine surgery to sports medicine, rehab therapy, and more, we are here to help you move freely. No need to travel far. Learn more at haysmed.com/orthopedics.
Breaking ball hit a ton to left field. The only question, will it stay fair? And it does. It's a two-run home run for Isaiah Ural. Home run number four. RBIs 27 and 28. And Fort Hays State gets two of them back here in the bottom of the fifth and now trail it 5-3. Yeah, some of the action from yesterday on a windy day at Larks Park. Tiger baseball rallies to beat William Jewell. We were going to talk with Justin Wickard. A little under the weather today, but we'll move on and remind you they have a three-game series, final three home games with Emporia State this weekend. All right, we're going to talk some track and field. Jason McCullough, the Tigers' travel agent, is with us here today. He's also the head coach. We joked last week, Fort Hays State had two meets out in California, Long Beach last Thursday, and then Azusa Pacific throughout the weekend, and then the rest of the team headed to Emporia for the Midwest Classic, which was bumped up a day because of the windy forecast, which looked to be a brilliant move by the folks in Emporia. Give us an overview. I know you had a lot of guys and a lot of gals in a lot of different places. I know a lot of the MIAA, at least the top performers, were in California because of the weather, as we chronicled. But just an overview, how did everybody do for your guys and gals?
It turned out to be a pretty good week. We had several qualifiers, so Dayton Williams, he qualified in the high jump, and Toby Wallmeyer had a good run in the 200 meters that qualified, and then some of our distance athletes qualified as well. And we had a couple people in the multis qualify, so we hit some good qualifiers and some fast times. We're among some of the faster in certain events in the conference, and a lot of that is from going out there. J.C. Vath had a real good – she ran a 16:52 in the 5,000, which is smoking fast. And then won her section of the 1500 in 436. So she had a good meet. Grant Bradley is now ranked eighth in the nation in the steeplechase, running an 853. And so he had a great performance. We had our 800 guys all ran 150 or 151, so not too bad for them. So pretty good overall in California. Emporia, we had some good marks as well. One person who's really standing out for us lately is Kimoni Archie. You know, he's jumped 24 feet, I think, the last three times. And he did it in Emporia with no wind. So there was no wind, and so nothing pushing him, and he still jumped 24 feet. So great performance by him. Our javelin girls are really throwing well. So right now we have a variety of athletes that are competing well for Fort Hays.
Well, let's talk about the California events. And as we touched a little bit last week, one, the weather is the big driving force. And as you said, this is kind of the time of the year. People are starting to hit their stride and a chance to really work on those marks to get into the Nationals. But then not only is the weather great, but as you said, the competition. I mean, and obviously if you're running against or competing against people who are performing well, it's just going to push you further. So they kind of go hand in hand. The weather's great, but then you face great competition, which should hopefully improve all those marks.
Yeah, that's true. And just to give you an example, that they want the best weather there because everyone pays a lot of money to travel there and to compete there. And so I get emails when there's changes in the schedule. And so they push the 1,500 meter races back 30 minutes because they were experiencing 8 mile an hour winds.
Awful, so, just terrible.
Yeah, it was 8 mile an hour winds and a little bit of drizzle, so they wanted to push it back just to make sure they had the best weather for that. And it worked out fine, although some of the athletes got done competing at about 12:30 their time, which is 2:30 our time. So it was kind of tough on a few of them. But, yeah, the good weather and then the great competition, because you get so many heats of people competing against, you know, Division I athletes. Grant Bradley, for example, when he won his section of the steeplechase, they weren't talking about him. They were talking about this blue-chip recruit from Colorado who he beat. And so you have some great competition there, and you need that in certain events.
Well, it was good to see them perform. And you mentioned Kimani Archie, the former Hays High Indian, a two-sport guy with football and basketball. And you've got some of those. Was it mainly some of the younger people going to Emporia? How did you break up the teams? And then maybe talk about some of the youngsters that obviously are finding their way, but people I know you're going to be depending on to kind of carry the torch as they move out throughout their college career.
Yeah, in track and field, there's certain events where you maybe want a more of a low-key atmosphere. And the jumps and the throws are two areas there, so you maybe don't want as much anxiety and, you know, pressure there. You want it to be low key, so they focus on staying relaxed. And usually with the jumpers, and even our jumper squad is really young. We have a lot of freshmen and redshirt freshmen, so they're really young, and they probably perform a little bit better at Emporia. Same thing with the throws. I think personally that the javelin is slightly downhill at Emporia. So I think our javelin throwers love Emporia. It's really just a great place to throw. So we usually take our throwers there. So it just kind of depends on each particular discipline. You know, you really can't do as well in the distance events or maybe some of the sprints or the multis if you don't have the competition. Mm-hmm. But the throws and the jumps, you can definitely do well when it's a low-key meet.
Downhill, there's so many places we could go with that. We'll just let that one sit there. Let's talk about what's ahead. I know you've got a couple of more outings, and then it's conference tournament or conference championship time in early May, and it'll be hosted by Northwest Missouri State this year. But I know you're going to the Loper Invitational on Friday. You've got your own Alex Francis Classic coming up on Thursday, the 25th. Talk about those two meets and what you're expecting, and then just, you know, what your guys and gals need to do here as you get to the backstretch, so to speak, of your season.
Yeah, we're just kind of trying to sharpen up. And so the Loper Invitational on Friday, the weather right now looks pretty good. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of wind. It's a little cooler in the mid-50s, but it should be a good time to kind of sharpen up for some of the athletes. The ones that went to California, many of them won't go. Mm-hmm. They're going to rest up. And then our home meet, usually it's a little bit warmer. It can sometimes be a little bit on the breezy side, so it's usually pretty good for certain throws and for some of the sprints, as long as it's not overly windy. So it's about that time when the sprinters, it starts getting a little warmer and the sprinters are really starting to come along. And so we really like that for the sprints, for the hurdles, for some of the throws.
This is our last program, so the last chance we'll get to talk to you about this, but maybe a preview of the MIAA championships. I know it's still a few weeks out, but as we've seen in every sport, the MIAA loaded, track and field no different. There's some of the top performers in the country in this conference, but kind of where you realistically think the Tigers can fit, and just maybe a preview of the MIAAs.
So I think there are six or seven teams that are ranked in the top 25, and I think our women right now are among those. So, you know, last year our women were third and our men were fourth. Indoors, our women were third, our men were fourth. We're redshirting a few of our top guys, so I don't really expect our guys to score quite as high as they did last year. But, yeah, the MIAA is stacked. Pittsburgh State has got about twice as many quality points as the rest of pretty much every team in the conference. So, I mean, it's between Pittsburgh, Northwest Missouri, Washburn, Central Missouri, Emporia State. There's some really good teams there. You know, we're going to be competitive. We're going to do well. We'll probably have a few be on the podium. And so that's kind of the goal, is to represent Fort Hays well. And we usually peak at the right time.
And then championships, you'll have a twilight in there. The championships are in Emporia this year. So those who can get those qualified marks and get through is going to be a very, I guess, familiar surrounding and a familiar track, which has to help as well, just the comfort level when you go to a Nationals.
Yeah, it is comfortable. You know, the coaches really like it. Like, our coaches love going to these close national championships. I think the kids would rather go to California
right, yeah.
or the East Coast. But this year the championships were in Joplin for cross country, Pittsburgh for indoor, and Emporia for outdoor. So I think the rest of the country is going to be a little bit ready to get somewhere else. But for us, I think it's really familiar. You know, we've competed well at Pittsburgh indoors, and we've done well at Emporia outdoors. It's a shorter trip. Our kids don't have to worry about getting on a plane and having jet lag. So I think that will help us for those that qualify for that.
All right, sounds good. Well, we appreciate the time. Appreciate you coming in all year cross country and during the track and field season. Good luck the rest of the way. Hopefully there'll be a lot of the folks on the podium in conference and then a lot of them qualifying for the Nationals in Emporia when that rolls around toward the later part of May.
And next week, it's Thursday. The field events begin at noon, and then the running events begin at 2. So it should be over about 6:30, 7 o'clock. So if you want to come out there and check that out, noon for the field events and 2 o'clock for the running events.
That's the Alex Francis Classic, Thursday, April 25th. Jason, appreciate it, and good luck.
Thank you.
That's Jason McCullough. He's the track and field coach at Fort Hays State University as their season starts to wind down. Tiger Talk today brought to you by BTI, your John Deere dealer. Locations in Buckland, Great Bend, Greensburg, Hoxie, Nest City, and Pratt. BTI, our family in partnership with your family. Softball coach Adrian Pilkington is up next. You're listening to Tiger Talk on the Tiger Sports Network, built by PwC.
My name is Shannon Wiley, and I live here in Hays, Kansas with my husband and our two little boys. Reliable internet, I think, is important just all around, from your day-to-day life to work to school. We love that we're back in a smaller town, but we still can do all of the things we really love and enjoy and work remotely if we need to, because we have a great internet provider like Nextech.
According to our customers, Nextech is consistently ranked as having excellent customer service in all areas. So stop worrying about your internet and get Nextech.
Hey, Tiger fans, you've probably seen Fort Hays State University license plates on vehicles around town. These official State of Kansas Tiger tags not only show your Tiger pride, but they also support student scholarships. Getting your own Tiger tag is quick, easy, and every tag generates money for student scholarships. Visit fhsualumni.com/drive or contact the alumni office to learn more. Again, that's fhsualumni.com/drive. Go Tigers!
Rev up your career with BTI John Deere. With a long-standing reputation of over 75 years, their shops offer consistent work opportunities. If you're a skilled service technician seeking a fresh challenge, join the BTI team. Experience excellent benefits, paid time off, a family-centered culture, and best of all, air-conditioned shops. Beat the heat and join their team. Learn more at btiequip.com or email connect@btiequip.com for job opportunities. BTI, our family in partnership with your family.
Did you know April is National Stress Awareness Month? Well, I'm well aware of my stress. I'm also aware that when I eat tacos, my stress goes down. On special right now at the Taco Shop, chicken quesadilla, $4.49, pork burrito, $4.09, and the Sanchez is $3.89. Reduce your stress. Order from the Taco Shop. Then you don't have to worry about cooking for supper.
Come on down to the Taco Shop. You never had it. You never had it so good. To the Taco Shop.
The 1-0. Ayala drives it to right field. That's going to be down and go all the way to the warning track. DeGarmo will score. Ayala tries to stretch it into a double. He's in safely. So back-to-back doubles for Fort Hays State, and the ball game is tied at 6. That's some more of the action from yesterday at Larks Park. Tigers rally to beat William Jewell College in their final homestand of the year. We're joined now by head softball coach Adrian Pilkington. They're kind of on the backward stretch of their season as well. They took a little break from a home stretch in which they played 12 out of 14 at home. They went on the road, got a couple of wins yesterday at Northwestern Oklahoma State. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. But, Coach, thanks for joining us. And you got to feel pretty good about things right now. It's been kind of up and down, but you're on a little bit of a hot stretch right now with your squad after getting the two wins at Northwestern Oklahoma State. You swept Central Missouri, and you got a split with Lincoln. So five of your last six games, you've picked up the wins, and looks like your team maybe finally getting a little momentum and a little consistency at the right time of the year.
Yeah, you know, I think maybe that loss to Lincoln was a little bit of a reality check for them and just kind of get them back on the straight and narrow. And, you know, been pitching really well most of the season long. And then yesterday our bats kind of came alive, which is something we needed. I think that just gives us some confidence going into the weekend.
Yeah, just got to take a quick look. I don't know that you've had a stretch all year. You score 8 runs and 9 runs in the two games. They're among your highest offensive production, but to do it in back-to-back games, I mean, you haven't done that at any point this season. That was obviously for you, had to be nice to see and not have those games come down to the, you know, one or two pitches late in the game all the time.
Yeah, you know, to see my pitchers not throwing under quite so much stress was a relief for once, for sure. But, you know, we just kind of did what we needed to do. We had a lot of hits. We had a lot of quality at-bats. And, I mean, you know, for us, it's kind of – we have to play at death by single, you know, a lot of times. So we got to string them together, and we got to go to work as a group. But yesterday we did have 2 home runs on the day, so that was nice to see a couple of those kids, you know, be able to lift one out and have a good day.
Obviously that helps. So when you're, you know, having to do it as you do it, you say, you know, sometimes it's hard to continue to string hits together, but that's just kind of the way it goes. And we talked about this a bit last week, you know, how it's been a bit of a surprise that this team, they were never going to be among the top offensive teams in the conference, but you could see them getting better each and every year. And for whatever reason, that had not been the case with this group, even though a lot of them were back. But maybe a couple of games like yesterday can give them the confidence, because they've shown that they can do it and have done this before and put some good at-bats together and find a way to scratch those runs across to win games.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, offensively, we just all have to be on the same page and going up there and not trying to do too much and having quality at-bats and just kind of one after the other. You know, we're built to pitch and defend, and that's something we know, so we just need to kind of embrace that and just understand that, you know, we're going to have to go get our runs and scrap for them. But, you know, on the other side of the ball, we're going to stay in every game because we throw well and we defend well.
Well, and you look at it, really, even though you split with the Lincoln, you get a shutout and you lose 1-0. Your pitchers the last 4 or 5 games have been on point, and you've been able to use a lot of them, and they all seem to be answering the challenge right now.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think they're stepping up like we need them to right now, you know, going into the last stretch and trying to get into the postseason. So they're doing what we ask, and, you know, if our hitters can keep it up after yesterday, they're definitely doing what we ask as well.
You mentioned the Lincoln game kind of being a reality check. What you win 4-0. Was just an overconfidence thing? What happened in game two?
I just felt like we struggled to get on plane with the kind of a slow thrower that was low in the zone. You know, we had some opportunities, and we needed to situationally hit better. We had a runner on third. We needed to elevate a ball to the outfield and be able to score a sac fly there. Something simple where they just – sometimes I think they get overwhelmed with the moment at the plate and just try to force getting a hit. And sometimes it doesn't always take a hit. You know, we just have to barrel a ball up and be able to do something with it.
And then you came back. Central Missouri, always a good program, and you've had some good battles with them. 2 1-run wins, and to do it the way you did, you came from behind in the first game and then got the early lead and made it stand in game two. Had to be 2 great confidence builders for the team in all aspects to win against a good program like you did in those 2 games.
Yeah, I mean, I think our energy was just better. We were just more focused and ready to play, where I don't know if they just took it a little bit lax thinking that they could walk through Lincoln. And I mean, you can't do that with anybody in this conference. And so I think it was just kind of a tougher lesson learned for our group. But they did bounce back, and, you know, we were looking for 3 of 4 for sure out of that weekend, and we just kind of did it in an unorthodox way, but you know, they got it done nonetheless.
Yeah, normally you probably think, oh, if you split with Central Missouri, that's a good weekend, and we sweep. But as you said, bottom line is how you come away with it, and now you're back at home. You've got 4 more home dates to go in the regular season before then closing it out on the road, and as you look at this conference, I mean, as it is every year, it's a big jumble for the teams getting into the MIAA tournament. Maybe just talk about where you're at there, and you know, what do you feel you're going to have to do the rest of the way to get back into the conference postseason tournament?
Yeah, I mean, we're just absolutely focused on ourselves right now and the games that we need to win. You know, we need to go get, at the minimum, we need to go get 2 of 4 on both of the weekends, and you know, sneaking one away from number 6 Central Oklahoma wouldn't hurt. Getting one from Rogers, who we match up well with, and we've split with them in the past. You know, I think our pitching is a great matchup for Rogers in that final set. So, I think we definitely have a chance. We just have to kind of worry about ourselves. And there is a lot of movement that could happen here towards, even the middle mm-hmm. of the conference to the bottom. So, I don't know that there's really too many teams that are statistically out of it, depending on how they play. So we just have to keep worrying about ourselves and going one game at a time.
All right, let's talk about the weekend. You're at home, doubleheader on Friday, 1 o'clock. You mentioned it, number 6 Central Oklahoma. They lead the MIAA, 17-1 in conference play, and then Newman for a Newman doubleheader on Saturday, all out of Flea Hardy Family Field. UCO, I mean, they've been so good for so long. They always can pitch it great, and obviously offensively they're great. What's the scouting report on the Broncos going into this season? Pretty much like years past?
Yeah, I mean, I would say it is, although I don't think that they're throwing as well as they have in the past. You know, I think their pitchers kind of just do enough to get them by, and their offense is really what lifts them. So, I would say that that's a good matchup for us, mm-hmm. Just that our pitching is strong and they compete every single pitch. And I think that we should be able to find some hits versus their pitchers as well. So, hopefully that's a good battle. We played some really good games with them last year. So, we're just hoping to carry that over and feel confident about that.
I was just going to bring that up. I mean, you were in about every time you played them. They were a good team and they found a way to win. But when, like, you were overmatched and never had a chance in any of those games, hopefully that gives this group some confidence.
No, I very firstly remember being called out of the box on our slapper last
That's
year.
Right.
It would have given us a 2-run lead.
That's right,
them.
Yes.
But, it's just –
Didn't mean to go back
one
there.
Of those. No, it's fine. Just stir up old memories. It's okay.
Yeah, that's how you go.
But, yeah, I mean, we were in every single one of them, and we're competing well with them. So we have to do what we need to do at the plate. That's the biggest thing. We feel confident, and we trust our pitching and our defense. So if we can go up there and just do enough at the plate, we're going to be able to scrap by.
And then Newman on Saturday, a team that's right behind you, but as you said, battling to get in, and that, in a sense, that really makes that doubleheader really big because they're trying to catch you, and you can get a little separation if you can take care of business against them.
Yeah, and I mean, they're a team that just kind of has fallen short quite a few times, so they're probably playing with a little bit of edge and a little bit of fight right now, but they kind of always have that. They hit all right. They don't pitch great. But if you let them hang with you, they're going to do it. So they're not a bad little team. So we got to do our part for sure.
Well, hopefully your team started to hit its stride at the right time of the year. And the fact that they were kind of in this position last year, really the last 3 years, and the two prior, they came up short for the tournament. Last year, they found a way to play in. Certainly understand the situation ahead of them, and hopefully that helps them handle a little bit better, knowing what's ahead of them and just how you have to go about it once you get to mid-April and beyond to extend your season in the conference postseason.
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of making sure that we're staying focused mm-hmm. and being where our feet are and working one game at a time and not being overwhelmed by, the sizable task of 8 games. So it's just one of those deals that you have to just stay focused and stay where you're at.
All right, sounds good. Coach, as always, we appreciate it. We'll have the Friday doubleheader with UCO right here on KAYS, which gets underway at 1. We'll be on the air at 12:40. Coach, appreciate the time, and we'll see you out at Flea Hardy Family Field on Friday.
Yes, sir, thanks for having
there
me.
There you go. That's Adrian Pilkington, head softball coach. Again, chance to catch the Tigers at home Friday at 1, and then Saturday at noon, the final 2 home games for Fort Hays State softball. Tiger Talk brought to you by the Taco Shop. Whether you order by phone, use their handy app, dine in, carry out, or delivery. You've never had it so good. The Taco Shop, they've been a Hayes tradition since 1970. We'll take a break when we come back. We're going to talk with Athletic Director Curtis Hamicky. We'll do that next. This is Tiger Talk on the Tiger Sports Network, built by PwC.
Ringgard Howard CPAs wants to help make your life easier by finding solutions to your tax, accounting, and business issues. Are you dealing with IRS notices or possibly looking for ways to minimize taxes? Maybe you're starting a business or looking for advice on how to improve your business. Ringgard Howard is here to help. Whether you need us to tackle complex issues or assist with payroll, bookkeeping, and sales tax, your time is important. Let us give you more. Ringgard Howard CPAs, we can help. We do that.
Car Care Specials store-wide all month long at your local Napa Auto Parts store, Gibbs Auto Supply in Hayes. Save up to 25% off select Turtle Wax and Meguiar's car cleaning products. Seafoam Bugs Be Gone Car and Truck Wash, $6.49. Save up to 30% on select car care accessories and Spray 9 Cleaner, $4.99. Take advantage of these specials and many more at Gibbs Auto Supply, 13th Street in Hayes.
Napa know-how, Napa know-how.
April is Safe Digging Month. Before you dig for any reason, to plant a tree or even put in fence posts, call 811 to find out if there are underground utilities below. Calling 811 two business days before you need to dig helps you avoid damaging buried utilities. Best of all, 811 is a free service. Be safe and call 811 first. A safety message from Midwest Energy, a customer-owned cooperative making energy work for you.
There is freedom in movement, and HaysMed Orthopedic Institute helps you regain your best moves. As one of America's top 20 rural hospitals, HaysMed offers the most comprehensive orthopedic care in Western Kansas, complete with quality outcomes and our four-star patient experience. From joint and spine surgery to sports medicine, rehab therapy, and more, we are here to help you move freely. No need to travel far. Learn more at haysmed.com/orthopedics.
The pitch is hit in the air to left field. Back goes Wilcox. He won't get it. It's gone. It's a home run for Cesar Saavedra. Just his second home run of the year, and it gives the Tigers their first lead of the day. Yeah, some of the action again from yesterday as they knock off William Jewell. Tiger Talk today brought to you by Golden Belt Bank. Your life has a story. Golden Belt Bank wants to get to know that story. Golden Belt Bank, Hayes and Ellis. Visit them online, goldenbeltbank.com. We were going to have Justin Wickard on the program, a little under the weather today. So Curtis Hammackey, former baseball coach, graciously filling in on the program. We're going to talk about Lewis Field and some activities going on there. Thanks for joining us today and in pinch hitting, as they say.
Always glad to pinch hit.
Always glad to pinch. Did you have to pinch hit much when you played?
No, I didn't. They took my bat away.
They took your bat away. You were pinch hit four. Okay,
that's
very
right.
Good.
That's right.
And then you became a pitcher.
That's right.
Exactly. Well, let's talk about – first we want to talk about – we mentioned softball being at home, and we've seen this earlier this year. The schedule got altered. And we've talked about this with other events, with travel partners, and a lot of times it may be the weather up in Kearney initiating some of these moves.
That's right. When you're playing, you know, there's four institutions involved like that. Like sometimes we run into that with basketball. But with softball, the weather problem could be in Kearney, but we got to stay on the same schedule with them. So sometimes when we postpone our games here in Hayes, and you're like, hey, the weather's pretty good. But we got to follow a strategy to be able to play at Kearney and at Hayes at the same time. So they were discussing earlier today possibly moving these weekend games to Sunday, Monday. And our forecast might be okay to play here, but we would have to do that to align with the travel, the two teams that are traveling, Central Oklahoma and Newman, you know, are coming here and to Kearney. So sometimes our schedule changes based on the weather in Kearney, as weird as that sounds. So I'm just going to say for the people to be aware of the watch the website this weekend in case anything changes for baseball or softball. But at least from baseball, we're just working on our own schedule.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, let's talk about Lewis Field, some of the exciting activities going on there. I know you guys have been fundraising and trying to get a new locker room facility in the south end zone. Maybe just for everybody, give an update on where they're at. I know it went out for bids and getting ready to begin some work pretty quick.
Yeah, I mean, really exciting. And the cool thing was a local contractor got the bid. We had a very competitive bid. We had eight construction companies bid that project, which we were excited about that. And locally, Paul Wurtenberger got the bid. So we were real happy about that. That also affects all the subcontractors being local. So that was a really good thing. You know, in the environment coming up that we've been dealing with the last couple of years, we were pretty concerned about just having a competitive bid and how much the cost might go up even higher than what we were at right now. So we were worried about that for a long time. It also had a bearing on when we were going to replace the turf at the football field. And so all of this was an unknown, and so we waited, chose to wait a year to replace the turf, because the first thing they're going to do is this thing's going to be elevated, I think, 3 feet above the ground. There's going to be a lot of dirt work in the south end zone. We didn't want to put a brand-new turf in this spring and had that thing covered with that dirt, you know, from that. So we'd rather that happen to our old turf, and we'll have to clean that off, right? But so we'll be dealing with that. you know, in talking with Paul Wurtenberger, one of our hopes is that they can get the dirt work portion of that done this summer so that by the time we're playing in the fall, we'll have some of that dust out of the way. We'll have concrete down there and that type of thing. But the excitement of that project also creates some challenges, and I think that's one of the things that we're looking at right now is everything south of the stadium, which, you know, we currently use as VIP parking, that grass lot, you know, that'll all be a staging area for all of their equipment and for the materials that they need for the project. So we're going to lose the vast majority of that parking lot area there for at least the 24 season, potentially part of the 25 season. So we're working on that plan right now. Obviously, the easy thing for us to say is there's not going to be any parking back there, but we're working with Paul Wurtenberger to see if we might have some avenues to pick up one side or the other of that and get some parking spots available. So we're working through those scenarios right now, see the best way to drill that. So, you know, it's an issue that's a product of a good problem, mm-hmm. In that we're getting the construction going and we're excited about that. But it is going to cause some challenges, I guess, as it relates to parking at Lewis Field.
So the time frame, work's going to begin when on this?
We're thinking June now. Okay. So, you know, so we were hoping right here after the spring game, but there's a lot of things going on. They got a lot of projects going on, and well, they'll get started this summer. So, and then I'm not sure exactly how long that's going to take. It just depends on how many other projects they got going. But certainly we'll be in good shape by next spring to start on our turf project. So that'll be coming in on the heels of this project.
And with that, I know there's obviously the track there, and track has its own facilities. Any changes to the configuration with this facility and then how you're going to have with the turf and everything when it goes in?
Well, the intent right now is for when we replace the football turf, then we'll go ahead and turf, or we'll have some other type of material on the track. Because as you all know, especially on the east side, the track's becoming an eyesore now. So even aesthetically, we have to address that. You see a lot of places do that with turf, but some other type of material will be covering that track as we move forward. So one mindset is to go ahead and just turf the field, and while that turf company's in town, go ahead and extend out with covering that with turf as well.
So I guess we will see what that'll
all be happening next spring.
Right, and next spring. But exciting, though, and we've talked about it just with the program and the success it's had and the number of players on the roster. I mean, the original Lewis Field locker rooms just aren't big enough anymore, and it'll be nice to get them all in one roof, and it's going to just enhance that facility even more.
It's going to be a great facility. I think that'll do great things for the football program. I think the sports medicine aspect of it is going to be enormous with the hydrotherapy pools and the things that we're doubling the space of our existing athletic training room over there. So all of our athletes, all of our outdoor athletes in particular, are going to benefit from that over there from a sports medicine perspective. And I say outdoor sports because most of the indoor sports will still be working through the training room in Groves Coliseum. So we have those there. But anyway, it's going to benefit all of our programs. But it is predominantly a football facility, and there's no question.
And we'll talk football with Chris Brown here a little bit and preview the spring scrimmage on Saturday. Once that's complete, you get the locker rooms out, you get the training room out, and they're all going to be in that facility. Any idea yet for future renovations for Lewis Field and what you do with some of that free space?
Well, I think underneath what we got to do, and this isn't sexy by any means, but that, you know, we got to renovate those restrooms on the east side. So we're really short over there. What's our current sports medicine area right now is going to become more restrooms.
Okay.
So that's the biggest thing that'll happen over there. I think there's 6 women's stalls over there, and, you know, you've got 3,000 seats over there. So, most of our crowd is on the west side, so you don't really see that firsthand. But if you walk through over there at halftime, it's very congested between the concession lines and the women's wrestling line, or restroom line, I should say. You know, they're backed up a long ways. The guys, they kind of get in and out of there, but the women's line gets really extended, and they'll go back out sometimes to the porta pots in the parking lot. So we're going to use that entire space that's currently sports medicine, and that'll all become restrooms underneath.
All right, it'll be fun and exciting.
Isn't that neat?
Yeah, well, you know, you said it's not sexy, but
it's got to be
when
done.
You wait in line for a long time for a restroom, it becomes pretty darn important.
It's important. It's
absolutely
important.
Well, Kay, we appreciate just pinch hitting today and filling in. Give us that update. It's going to be fun to watch that project evolve in exciting times.
Thanks, Gerard.
There you go. Curtis Hambeke, Athletic Director at Fort Hays State University. Tiger Talk today brought to you by the Hays Med Orthopedic Institute, the most comprehensive orthopedic care in Western Kansas. Learn more at haysmed.com/orthopedics. We'll take a break. We'll come back with football coach Chris Brown. They wrap up spring practices this week. They've got their scrimmage on Saturday, and we'll get a preview when we return on the Tiger Sports Network built by PwC.
This is Eric Flack, CEO at First Care Clinic in Hays, where your health is our top priority. Welcoming new medical patients ages 2 and up. We are your home for compassionate quality care. We tailor to your healthcare experience with 7 primary care providers across our 2 convenient locations, plus our express care and in-house pharmacy. We accept all commercial insurance and offer a sliding fee scale for uninsured patients. First Care Clinic, where first-class care is a promise. Visit us online at firstcareclinic.com or give us a call, 785-621-4990.
The most dependable and respected plumbing and mechanical systems provider in our area for 75 years, the Glassman Corporation. They have a long history of large projects and resolving building problems. They're the experts for commercial and residential heating, AC, plumbing, and geothermal systems, and they specialize in applied chillers and boilers of all types. Glassman has techs on the road all over the region every day. Call Glassman Corporation, 1-800-662-4318. That's 1-800-662-4318 and at glassmancorp.com.
Did you know April is National Stress Awareness Month? Well, I'm well aware of my stress. I'm also aware that when I eat tacos, my stress goes down. On special right now at the Taco Shop, chicken quesadilla, $4.49, pork burrito, $4.09, and the Sanchez is $3.89. Reduce your stress. Order from the Taco Shop. Then you don't have to worry about cooking for supper.
Come on down to the Taco Shop. You never had it. You never had it so good. The Taco Shop.
Regardless of where you call home or where you want to call home, that's a story to share with Golden Belt Bank. Because when you share with us your home ownership dreams, you take a big step toward achieving them. Visit goldenbeltbank.com to connect with our mortgage team today. Golden Belt Bank. One story at a time. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
0-1. High fly ball, left center field. Blasey going back to the wall. It's gone. 2-run home run for Sebastian Burgos. His 3rd home run of the year, and he got it up into that wind, and it just kept carrying it. And Burgos drives in 2, and the Tigers now lead 11-7. Yeah, big home run. They went at 11-8 yesterday, and it was indeed windy. Tiger Talk brought to you by our Fort Hays State Athletics, inviting to join Tiger fans with a plan. If you're going to be drinking, always designate a sober driver. We are now joined by head football coach Chris Brown, as he'll be our final guest of this school year. We'll take a little hiatus for the summer and be back with the program in August. And again, appreciate Tiger Club letting us do the program with the show. Hopefully everybody here has enjoyed it. It's been nice. I know the coaches have enjoyed only one less commitment to go to during the week of their season, combining these two, and it's certainly been fun for us, and I think it's been a good partnership, and looking forward to next year, and I'm sure you're looking forward to the rest of this week, your final week of spring practice. You'll have the scrimmage on Saturday and wrap up the spring portion of the schedule. How's it gone for everybody? I know spring's always a unique time. You can work on some stuff, but a chance for some maybe guys who haven't played as much to try to move themselves up the depth chart, it's always important.
It is. Our guys have done really well, despite the weather and the wind that we've had to battle the last, 4 weeks going into this week. Yesterday was really bad with the wind, but, our guys have handled it really, really well. We've got some ones going with two or twos going with ones, and just kind of mixing some guys around, trying to keep some guys healthy as well. But those young guys need to get as many reps as they possibly can. So that's kind of what spring is all about. You still need to get your upperclassmen and your starters some reps, but it's really about trying to get those younger guys ready and get those younger guys prepared. And you know, at first you can see their minds are kind of scrambled and everything's kind of mixing together and their every play's mixed together in on their end. But you're starting to see those things clean up now, and they're doing a really good job.
You mentioned the weather, and it seems like you've practiced. You go by what every other day, and it seems like the every other day when you're not practicing, like today, is a pretty nice day. But hey, you may play in this stuff, and I guess if you know teams come out here and it's a windy day in September, October, November, whatever it is, your guys should be used to it.
They should. You know, we practice Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Monday, Wednesday, Friday is usually pretty darn good. And so I might need to start changing that schedule around just a little bit. Say Monday, Wednesday, Friday. On the calendar, but still do Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. Maybe that weather will change for us. But that wind has been pretty brutal. But our guys really have handled it well. I mean, they know we've played in it, you know, before. We practiced it in the fall, too. But it just really seems, you know, in the springtime right now, it's the time that wind really hits in. But our guys handled it well. They're practicing hard. I mean, it makes them really communicate, which is the coolest thing ever because, you know, on game day, it's loud in our stadium. So we have to communicate with hand signals and things like that. So it really forces our guys to do those things right now.
As you look at this group, and obviously last year was a great turnaround after a couple of down seasons from what I know you expect and what had been the product on the field, but a nice bounce back. You graduated some key players. We got a lot of them back, and I would think that helps when you get in the spring, because that's one thing, a few practices I've been to, you notice, one, you've got pretty good numbers, and you're able to do some stuff, but you got those veterans, I would think, being able to help bring some of those younger guys along.
They really have. You know, we got 106 kids in the spring, and it's usually like 70, you know, 80 kids. But, you know, with COVID and all those things going on and the way things kind of happen, and this is kind of the end of that year as well. So, we'll lose a lot of guys after this year. But those older guys have really taken those young guys underneath their wing. And you can see them before practice, after practice, you know, during meetings, you know, even, you know, there's just talking to those young men about the things that they're seeing and the things that they need to work on and get better at, and just kind of bring them along with the playbook and just, you know, the ins and outs of football and the techniques and fundamentals that they use sometimes on the field too to kind of help them out. So it's really been cool to see that, you know, with this group of young men. But these upperclassmen are great young kids, are great young men. They do everything you ask them to do. They do very well in the classroom as well, and they're just really, really good people. And that's the coolest thing is that they're not just good football players, they're good people as well.
You mentioned getting the young guys reps. How much of the spring is used maybe for some install and things you want to do in the fall to maybe give them that maybe you haven't done before, you give them a look at it here in the spring?
We throw a bunch at them, as much as we possibly can, you know, especially the older guys. When the young guys get in there, we really do kind of dummy it down just a little bit because their brains are just going every which way anyway. They're kind of short-circuiting, you know, sometimes when you get too much with them. But your older guys, you know, they pick it up pretty quick because they've been doing it for quite a while. So it's just kind of like clockwork for them. But, you know, but we keep adding a few more things for those young kids to pick up because they're the things that we're going to have to use during a game. So, and also, can they do it, and are they able to do what we ask them to do? And, you know, for the most part, they have, but we try to install as much as we possibly can and probably do some things that, you know, maybe we just want to try. Now, that's not that we're going to use them in the fall, but just to see how it works and how our kids kind of, you know, figure things out if they can't figure things out. And we try to enhance their football IQ as well just to make sure that they're understanding the football game and the game of football and situational things like that.
Any major position changes? I know every occasionally you maybe move a guy from offense to defense or vice versa, either by need or, you know, maybe to help that player have a better chance to get on the field. Any big changes on the roster as far as position goes?
Not right now. I mean, we've kind of kept everybody where they're at. Not any real big, huge changes. Maybe, you know, a linebacker that's kind of buried in the depth chart, kind of move over to the offensive side and be a tight end or kind of a fullback type kid as well. But that's really the big change of anything. But most of the guys are in their positions that they played, you know, last fall, and that's a bonus. I mean, in the back end with the safeties and stuff, sometimes I'll rotate those guys around to ones are free, and then sometimes he's, you know, one of the down safeties, or he's the other high safety just to kind of get those guys some work and maybe moving corners, you know, to some safety positions too just to see what they can do as well. But it also helps those guys when you do that to figure out, okay, whatever they know what everybody's doing on the field, not just their position. So you start moving them, they start thinking, okay, I got to know every position back here now. That communication comes along, and now they know everybody's job, and it helps them out just to do their job.
Any concerns, areas that you feel you got to get better at before you get rolling here in the fall camp?
I mean, there's always, you know, we always try to find better than what we have right now. I do know we probably need to go find a defensive lineman, you know, defensive tackle at some point. We got some younger guys there. They've gotten better, but they just don't have the weight and the experience quite yet. Probably looking for a safety because, you know, we're going to lose some guys this year, so we can kind of get a guy trained, you know, right now to fill in when those guys leave next year as well. Always looking for receivers, always looking for offensive linemen. You know, you're always looking for those guys. So, you know, we're just looking for a difference maker. You know, when they step on the field, they're going to make a big impact on our team and make us better.
All right, let's talk about Saturday. It's your spring scrimmage. What's the schedule? What's the plan? What can folks expect to see?
Well, we're going to start meetings at 7:45 with special teams. 8 o'clock we'll do position meetings. 9 o'clock we'll be on the field to stretch. 9:20. Or about 9:10, we'll do individual drills just to kind of get them loosened up. But at 9:30, we're going to start the scrimmage.
Okay.
So you won't see a lot of special teams. It'll basically just be our punt team. That's really about it. But it's just going to be, you know, if we get a fourth down, we'll punt. And wherever that ball is caught, that's where the other offense will start. So it'll be ones versus ones, twos versus twos. Probably won't see a lot of ones, but you'll see us kind of let the ones get some reps and then the twos get in and the threes because we really need to see what those guys – you know, can do because it's kind of like the last evaluation of them and kind of where they fit into our program. So, I mean, it is going to be a live scrimmage except for the quarterbacks because we do need to tackle and our backs need to get tackled and our quarter, you know, our receivers need to get tackled as well. So we got to have those live situations. So we'll start at 9:30 and probably end up around 11:30, right around there.
All right. Sounds good. Coach, appreciate the update. Looking forward to seeing you guys out there on the field on Saturday.
Thanks, Gerard. Appreciate
you. There you go. Chris Brown, coach of the Tigers. Got 9:30 Lewis Field for the annual spring game. Tiger Talk brought to you by the Haysmed Orthopedic Institute, Golden Bell Bank of Hayes and Ellis, BTI, and the Taco Shop. Again, we'll have Tiger Softball Friday right here on KAYS. 1 o'clock start, 12:40 pregame. And Saturday afternoon, we'll have Tiger Baseball from Lewis Field against Emporia State. It's going to wrap up the show. It's going to wrap up Tiger Talk for the season. It's been a pleasure. We appreciate everybody joining us, and we'll see you back here in August as we kick off the football and fall sports season. So long, everyone.